from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
We ended up not going where I wanted to early, in kind of the middle part of the show after Anthony Castrovince, because I kind of had a point on Gavin Williams and opportunities with young pitchers. I think it's so obvious when you look at Matthew Boyd and Alex Cobb, the difference between those two guys and where Tanner Bibee and Gavin Williams are in terms of just sheer pitchability, which only gives me hope for Williams and Bibee in the future. But I thought today was a missed opportunity. That kind of overtook the show in the 4 o'clock hour. So might get back to a Guardians thought. We'll see where this takes us. But I couldn't believe when I was on social media earlier today, and we actually missed it yesterday. Anybody else remember if Dustin watched Breaking Bad? He's watched so few good things that I'm always surprised, even if I know he's watched it. But the point is, I wanted to talk about this yesterday, and I just totally missed it. Yesterday was the 13th anniversary of, I don't remember the exact name of the episode, but it's where Walter White and his wife basically discovers that he is a drug dealer by night, a drug manufacturer by night, and that Walter could be in a significant amount of danger. And Walter takes offense that his wife thinks that he's in danger. And it is one of the, honestly, guys, I don't know how many times in my life I've been watching a show, and when a moment in the show happens, I turn into Beavis and or Butthead. But when Walter White said, I'm the danger, I'm the one who knocks, top five moments of my life, just laughing like an idiot because it was such a cool moment. Also, I think Skyler got a bad rap on that show. I think now that it's come around that people are anti-Skyler, one, Walter outkicked his coverage with Skyler. Maybe not emotionally, but when we talk about a very, like, she was at her peak, he was at his peak, Walter could have done a lot worse than Skyler, if we're just talking from the look standpoint. Two, she was also whip smart if she could just be an accountant for anybody. She did cheat on him, which was not great. Don't do that, even though he was a drug manufacturer. I digress. There's a lot of nuance here. But this brought up the conversation in the pre-show, and we've asked two of the three guests. I forgot to ask Laura Rutledge this in the 2 o'clock hour, but if you could bring back one show you loved, what show would it be? Because so far we've gotten Mad Men, and Ness and I watch Mad Men, but probably once a year we go back and do the rewatch. Okay, I do the rewatch, and she plays on her phone, and every once in a while gets really into like a specific episode. Totally think you could do that. I think it's about Peggy 20 years after the finale, and maybe somehow we get a drapering at some point in there. But I think watching Peggy's evolution, I think it makes a lot of sense. Albert said Entourage, and I'll be honest with you, they need to bring back Entourage. The movie was an abomination. Give me a 10-episode, I think it'd be the 9th season, but instead of doing what Entourage always did, here's what you have to do. Every episode or every season, they just reset to where they were previously. It was like the movie basically undoes everything in the original ending of the show. And it's like, just kidding. Everybody's still super immature. I think you go the other way. I think you give Vince is now like the Robert Downey Jr. He's in every Marvel or every DC movie. which he said he never wanted to do. And he's depressed. He's like Brando. He's like depressed because he's just in it for the money. And E and the guys have to come together to save his career by putting him in a great movie. I think that's, and then we get the dynamics of how do we fall apart? I miss you. Think about it. Entourage, Turtle, if you're listening. Sorry, that was not cool. Jerry, if you're listening, do the thing. And then I'd like 10%, please. Keith, is there a show, whether it's sports or otherwise, that you would like to see brought back?
Yes, on certain conditions.
Okay.
I would love for The Office to come back, but okay. Two conditions.
All right.
I need Steve Carell back on the show, obviously.
Fair.
And I need less of John Krasinski and Jenna Fisher love story.
I think that's a great take.
I need more of The Office non-HR kind of stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, no, like the non-PC stuff.
Yes.
The stuff that people say, and by the way, I think it's total crap. You totally could do a show like that today. Look at something like Tires with Shane Gillis. I think people are hungered for like real humor again. I think The Office, and you're right though, we might have hit a point where Carell's career is kind of cooled. You might be able to leverage
it. Perfect way to bring it back.
Perfect way to bring it back. And by the way, if you want to have, oh my God, what are their names now? Jim and Pam. Individually, they can be back. I don't give any bit of damn about the marital problems or anything like that.
Right, I'm over the love story kind of thing.
Yeah, we get it. Like, that's actually the problem with sitcoms when you finally bring together a couple the Ross and Rachel of it, is there's a statute of limitations where you should just move the relationship to the background and you should just get back to them having fun. Where everybody knows they're together, but you don't have to explore all the sentimental, gooey crap that really just runs amok in a great sitcom. This is why you're the assistant brand manager.
I mean, has there been a funny movie that Steve Carell has made since like 40-Year-Old Virgin? Maybe I'm missing one. I believe that's basically been the end of it.
He has, but I don't know anything as funny as that. He's made a bunch of good movies. Oh my gosh. Ooh, you know what, dude? I'll tell you. It's not Blind. What's the one with Tina Fey? Date Night. Legitimately hilarious movie. Oh, what's the chick flick? And now I'm just going to say another chick flick that I like. Oh, crap. The one with Julianne Moore.
You know what? It's a good movie that he did, but it wasn't a funny movie.
Okay.
Foxcatcher.
Yeah.
Did you ever watch that?
Yeah, a little too dark for me, man. If anybody read on the backstory of that, that's a true story. Bacon Award Gaming saying The League. Yeah, I will be honest with you. The League got repetitive because you run out of things. Now that technology's changed enough, I think, what is it, 7 or 8 years since the, maybe 6 or 7 years since the last episode? I think every 5 years they should do like another 6 episodes and just drop it on us. 216-474-0092. It's the 13th anniversary of I'm the Danger, I'm the One Who Knocks, the episode that honestly was probably one of my favorite episodes of any TV ever. But Breaking Bad, seriously one of the best parts of Breaking Bad ever. And that has led us to say, what is one show you want to bring back? I saw Pro Football Talk that said that ESPN might bring back the Sports Reporter show. Nobody's asked for that. No one. I'm a sports fan, all right? And as a sports fan, when I would see Lupica and Mitch Albom and all the old dudes sitting around having very intellectual conversations about the meaning of sports, as a kid who could not consume enough sports, I turned it the hell off. That's not what sports are. I'm going to tell you the ecological impact of playing baseball in stadiums. Like, don't, please, no. So listen. You lived, you walked so that PTI and Around the Horn could run. Okay? You don't need to come back. Your work here is done, sports reporters. Also, aren't half of those dudes gone? Do we just need to give Jeremy Schapp another job he doesn't deserve? Is that what? Sorry, that's not nice. It's not nice, but that bleep is true. Got great hair for a man of his age. I could get down with Dick Shep. I could not. Jeremy is just, it's beyond me. JB saying Steve Carell in the morning show is fantastic. Never watched it. Vanessa loves that show. Chris saying Playmakers. Yeah, that show never should have been canceled in the first place. Playmakers. This is the ESPN one, right? Because I was starting to conflate it with Ballers. Yeah, the Playmakers one that I think came out either in high school or college. Cannot remember. Time's a Flat Circle. Honestly, one of my top five, like, what would have been if they extended that? Because, one, it was a great cast of, like, sneaky, like, oh, these are great dudes. No, great actors and actresses. And, two, it was so spot on. That's why it got canceled, of course, because it was too spot on. David Dempsey on Twitter saying, have to bring back Ted Lasso. You're not going to get me to say no to Ted Lasso. It's not the first show I would think about. I haven't gotten my suggestions yet. It's not my first show that I would bring back, but Ted Lasso just makes me feel good, man. Like, how many shows that are about anything, sports, relationships, how many shows just make you smile when you watch it? That's Ted Lasso. And Ron Warner saying, Breaking Bad is just pure greatness. How many times have I watched the series over? Well, I do a yearly rewatch. And I watched it in real time. Well, I started when they were in season 3 and then caught all the way up, then watched everything in succession. And then the first year, I watched it like 2 or 3 times. Next year, 2 or 3 times. And then since then, it's been about once every year. So I probably watched the whole thing 10 times. Does that sound too aggressive? No, I think that sounds right about it. Let's go with Shannon. Shannon, welcome to the show. What is one show that you would want to bring back?
Coach.
All right, same cast.
Well, the ones that are still alive.
Okay, that's on me, dog. I got to say, hey, Hayden Fox, Craig T. Nelson can do no wrong, in my opinion. I'll watch dude in just about anything in terms of a TV show.
Right. They don't make shows like that anymore.
Yeah, and it's just a fun show. You know, and thank you for the call there, Shannon. I got to say, Dauber grew up to be the dad in How I Met Your Mother. Guys, my dad, Jim, I got two dads, so both of them are now gone, but my dad, Jim, died right around the time that Marshall's dad, who is played by the guy who plays Dauber, dies in the show. I mean, great timing for, like, making me cry like a bee. Bad timing for just a comedy should not put me through my paces. I would say How I Met Your Mother. They've done enough. 216-474-0092. That last episode, that was interesting. What one show would you want to bring back as we just passed the 13th anniversary, one of the best Breaking Bad episodes? Nobody said Breaking Bad yet. I wonder if people would be open if Walter at the end of Breaking Bad fakes his own death. I wonder, spoiler alert, I wonder if people would be open to that. My three comedies were Modern Family, Community, and Californication. But the one that I can't believe I haven't heard is Newsroom. Can you imagine? One, the first season and second season of Newsroom. Okay, the second and third seasons jump a little bit all over the place. But the first one is perfect. It's like the first season of True Detective. You will not be able to outdo that. I would like to see where Jeff Daniels' Newsroom character and where his team is in this era, where they already started to touch on things like social media reactions being on like the scroll at the bottom there. 'Cause I would imagine Jeff Daniels' character's on a lot of Prozac. That would be my guess, given that he would be a newly minted father and so on and so forth. The problem is I know exactly what they would do. They would start the series with the golden couple that got together, Jeff Daniels, and I cannot remember the name of his EP on that show. They would start him with them like separated. And then the season would be them. No, I've seen that. Don't do that again. Stop resetting shows when you go ahead to bring them back. You can just bring them back wherever you think the characters are then. With all that going on, ooh, maybe How I Met Your Mother where Ted and Robin are together. No, that's a bad idea. Disregard that one. But we did talk some Gardos early on the show. They lost the Yankee series. Now, does this, for any people who said that the Yankees win earlier this week was the best one of the season, do the last two games negate that? I don't know where to turn with whether or not individual games or individual series matter and who thinks they matter and who was willing to analyze this team in real time and who isn't. It was a disappointing week, to be sure. Like, Milwaukee and New York were two teams that you should be able to go ahead and gauge yourself against, and it's okay if you weight those series a little different. Now, what I will say is, and I think the global view, which is the only thing that people in the baseball media take, right? Well, this series doesn't matter because it's 162. And we'll get to what Stephen Vogt had to say after last night's loss. I don't think he commented on this after today's loss, but he did last night. We'll get to that in a minute. But I looked at the...
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them. Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Final 40-ish games going into this series against the Brewers, and the reality is, yeah, you lost to the Yankees, you lost to the Brewers, that's not great, but what I said last week is still true. You've got matchups coming up against the LA Dodgers. You've got a matchup against a Texas team, which is not, they're the defending champions, but they're not as good as they were last year. They're still not the easiest team to beat. You've got a four-game set against Kansas City here coming up next week. All right, so you've got Kansas City again, then the Dodgers. Then you've got Tampa, who does not look like an easy out. Minnesota, St. Louis, Houston to end the season. There's still plenty of time for this team to kind of right the ship. And there's still series coming up that I think you can put stock into. Like, I thought it was funny when we were talking about the Guardians losing to the Yankees. Meredith said off air, they just can't beat winning teams. And I'm like, well, that's not true for most of this season. They just, the last six games, they tend to be, or they have been, very bad these last six games against really good teams. So I just think it's interesting where we are in the Guardians. I thought it was interesting to hear Stephen Vogt say after the Yankees loss, with all this time going on, he took the global view on the series that they have left in general and the idea that the Yankee series might mean something more than any of the other series they have coming up.
Maybe a little bit, but, you know, we've never really looked at importance of certain series. We take it one day at a time, and we know who we're playing, and they're a really good team. So we knew we had our work cut out for us coming into this series, but we don't necessarily look at one series more important than the other.
So I call that the global view, and it is the whole baseball thing. And it benefits Ivy League goofs, and it benefits this new era of baseball where nobody wants to be wrong or nobody can just look at this and go, man, they're not playing good baseball. Maybe they're not a good team because, well, it's a marathon and not a sprint. And the reality is there are times to take the 162 games view, and there are times where there's not. This Yankee series did have significant implications. One, you are battling with the Yankees amongst the Orioles, amongst the Astros. You are battling with these teams for supremacy in the AL. So even if we step outside the AL Central, you are trying to get the number one seed in the American League, and the benefit of that is getting, or the number one or two seed, and the benefit of that is absolutely the first round bye. and the bye directly into the American League Division Series. So even though there's some pluses and minuses with that in terms of if you end up having to basically sit for a couple, for a week or so, whether that truly is the benefit you want it to be, that is the goal. Getting the best record in the American League, and now the Yankees took 2 of 3 from you, and when you have the series against the Astros, you start to worry about things like the whether or not you're going to be able to have the tiebreaker if the two teams or what any one of these teams atop the AL finish with the same record. So the Yankee series did mean more than just you're going up against the, you know, as of right now, the team with the best record in the American League. That is a, this is a series that could have implications later in the season. So to anyone saying, well, it's just one series, I totally understand the, well, these three games don't outweigh any importance. No, no, they do. Yeah, you are battling for the best record in baseball and losing 2 out of 3. I don't really care about losing losing 3 straight to Milwaukee. Milwaukee's a good team. You caught them at the wrong time. You were playing bad baseball. Losing 2 or 3 to the Yankees is that this one stings. And when you have 4 games next week against the Royals, guys, I think it's time to stop with a global view on the Cleveland Guardians. We are in the nits and grits of the baseball season. We're at the time where every one of these series, but especially when you're playing a winning team, does matter. Now, does that mean when you lose to the Yankees, you run around with your hair on fire? No, this team has been streaky. This team has most specifically been better at home by a wide margin than they have been on the road. So from that side of things, you were a little streaky coming off that 5-game win streak. You immediately went out on the road. You lost 5 of 6. So even if we just put it from that, road versus home and the difference for this team. All right, but even with the team's streakiness, the runway that you built up, where at one point you had, what was it, a 10-game lead in your division. Well, that's now gone because it's down to 2 games. And it's 2 games going into tomorrow night because neither the Royals or Twins play tonight. So you kind of got to go out there, and this is put up or shut up time for the Guardians. And whether you live with every game or not, guys, that doesn't really matter. We probably should be living and dying with every series. Like if you want to stave off, if you want to build some more of that runway up where September is a little bit less stressful, the next week and a half, that's where you do it. You can build up some of the division against Kansas City. You've got other matchups that you got coming up that I think can benefit a little bit in the American League. But as of right now, with 3 home games against the Rangers, you kind of got to win this series, if not sweep Texas. And then next week, to put yourself in the best situation going forward into the end of this month, into the beginning of September, to ensure that you still have the first place lead in this division. Guys, it's here. And the funny thing is, I actually don't think the Guardians are that far away. I mentioned that I think the bullpen is as close as they've been because they got 4 guys going right now who might not be dominant, but I think are at least giving you some level of quality through 4 or 5 innings each night. And then it's on Vogt to try and figure out how do you eke it out or when do you push the line, when do you try and get him to 6 innings, which is not easy. It's much easier when a guy, you just have no faith in him and, we're just going to pull him in the 3rd inning because this is a big inning and we got to get this win. The margins are much smaller right now because I think the rotation is giving you 10% more than they were a month ago. But so I think a little bit more of the rotation after 2 passes with Boyd. I know he didn't get Cobb fully again because of the fingernail, but okay. Like, I'm starting to feel a little bit better about the rotation, and now it's just on the lineup to stop pressing. And every time they get that 5-game winning streak, we start, are they pressing less? I thought the 5-game winning streak, I thought they were starting to kind of press a little less. And then you saw them go out on the road, and I saw a lot more bad at-bats. Somebody needs to get through to this lineup and say, hey, guys, last year, We didn't crater because you were just bad. We cratered because you were undisciplined and you just didn't play the game that we play. I know they're trying to balance power and timely hitting and doing things the right way and all that. Well, the balance right now looks to be a bunch of guys trying to swing for the fences. That's not really going to benefit anyone. You need guys getting on base. And again, what was it in the first Yankees game? Was it 20 left on, or 20 runners in scoring position? So even then, you had a chance. I think you only scored nine runs in that game. But it's right here for the Guardians. But the global view of, well, you know, no series is really more important. That's something you say at the end of 162 games. When you've got a two-game lead in the division with four games next week against Kansas City, you can't tell me that the series doesn't matter a little bit more than the series against Pittsburgh at the end of the month. When you've got three games against New York, and they're not playing very well either, by the way. They had a sub-500 record coming into this series, and now they're at 5-5 in their last 10. But when you can take two or three from the Yankees, yes, that does mean something. Beyond just, we hate the bleeping Yankees. Beyond just, man, it'd be great to shut up New York fans. So, I really like Stephen Vogt. Now, it sounds like an eraser phrase. It's not. I really like Stephen Vogt. I think he's doing a phenomenal job this year, even with trying to figure out what's going on the last 6 weeks. But with all due respect, the idea that, well, we don't really view any of these series all that different. You should start. Because it is put up or shut up time for the Guardians. I think they're going to put up. I think 3 weeks from now, there's a really good chance that you've found your groove. And out of nowhere, against all odds, guys, I think there's a really good chance that the Guardians are going to hit the ground at the right time. They do seem to be getting healthy, although it'd be nice to get Alex Cobb back in the rotation. I don't think they've ever been closer in the last 8 weeks to putting it together. But you've spent 8 weeks figuring it out, and starting this weekend against Texas, who is 10 games below 500, this would be a great time to get things righted. And then from there, it's just about keeping your head above water. But yes, just because there are 162 games, not every one of those games is equal. Just because you might have 50 series in a season doesn't mean every one of those series are equal. 216-474-0092. Can I get you on board with this? Or do you agree with Stephen Vogt that in the end, it mostly kind of comes out in the wash that all these series are pretty much even? I think this is a critical stretch of Guardians baseball. And that's as somebody who's been watching them for 120-some games this season.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
For Trent, pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.